Tappers, what's going on? How is everybody doing? It is Wednesday, March 6th. Still in the mix of the cold here in Wisconsin. Supposed to warm up as the week goes on, which is great. We have that to look forward to. We also have to look forward to another edition of the Daily Tap. We are chatting about the Packers. Free agency has suddenly started to, the drum is beating louder. I feel like, you know, you remember Jumanji, not the one that was just done. Although I've heard that's good, so I'm not going to rip it. I've heard that actually it's actually pretty good. I'll have to go see that. But the original, the Robin Williams Jumanji, where the drum just starts beating louder and louder, like in the game, and you just start hearing the drum and it's getting louder and louder and louder. That's basically what free agency right now feels like. It just feels like it's all that's happening. We talked a lot about it on Stone Tap WI today. We're going to talk about it here on the podcast, kind of give some quick hitters on some potential names that are being mentioned. Also, too, we will talk about the Bucks and their eliteness and how they basically are considered elite. And that should be a really nice thing, a really fun thing that fans should really relish in. Also, too, we'll wrap up the show about anyone being mad about ticket prices. Kind of a loser. All right, so let's start with the free agency. So like I said, the drumbeat has gotten loud. I feel like the loudest beats are from the safety position. Landon Collins is no longer coming back to the New York Giants. Landon Collins is a 25-year-old strong safety. He is a beast, a monster in his own right, will be considered one of the top targets for teams when free agency begins next Wednesday. There obviously is that legal tampering period. I believe that begins, I don't know, I think it begins on the 9th, I'm not sure, but there will be definitely calls made to Collins, whether it's the Green Bay Packers, whether it's other teams in need of safeties. If this is the safety free agency, I mean, there are so many that are available right now for the Packers. I think the names are great. I mean, there's a top tier and there's a middle tier. And either one, I think, would be an instant upgrade for the Green Bay Packers. Now, Collins is obviously the one that's going to carry the most money. There are some who are apprehensive about his coverage, think that maybe the fit wouldn't be perfect, being that he played in a 3-4 base, or 4-3 base, excuse me, with the Giants. I don't really am going to get wound up in the sort of the nitty gritty of that. I think Mike Patton is a good enough coach that he can make people adapt to his system. I don't think we are dealing with a Dom Capers-like coach where if he doesn't fit the system, it's not going to work. I think Patton will make sure that any free agent that, you know, is wanted, that they're going to have a place in on that roster. I would imagine that Patton has gotten a phone call from Gutekunst and others of, hey, what do you think about the safety market? Who do you think would be the best option for us? Can you look at some tape? Can you give us an answer? I am sure that is a discussion going on right now by the Packers because I think they want to formulate a plan. With the amount of safeties available, you don't want to necessarily pick up a guy who is just the best on paper. You want to pick who is going to be that best fit. Just because Landon Collins is the biggest name doesn't mean that he is the option that Mike Patton might want. Mike Patton might say, look, LaMarcus Joyner is that guy. This is the guy that I want. I want LaMarcus Joyner. If you can't get LaMarcus Joyner, I might like Trey Boston. I might like, you know, Eric Weddle. There are, like I said, there are countless names that we could go over. So I think that's important. I think you have to find the right fit. The same goes for an edge rusher. You know, everyone is convinced the Packers are going to draft an edge rusher with the 12th overall pick. I think it makes the most sense. It's an edge-heavy draft. But if Za'Darius Smith, who has a relationship with the Milt Hendrickson, the now Packers assistant GM, Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens as well, if that is the option they go with, then, well, do you need still an edge rusher? I argue that the more the merrier. You want to have edge rushers up the ass with having a pass rush as it was non-existent last season. So, again, the fit has to work. And also, too, the dollar bills have to make sense. If, you know, I just read a report that Cole Beasley wants $20 million guaranteed. First of all, Cole Beasley's fucking crazy. There is no reason that Cole Beasley should ever, no team should give Cole Beasley $20 million guaranteed. I don't understand where the fuck that's coming from. That to me is an outrageous number. Now, the Packers have been mentioned with Beasley, so have the Bills, so have the Patriots. I don't think any of those teams are paying him $20 million guaranteed. I just don't. I don't know who would be that starved for a receiver that they're like, yep, we're going to drop a bag and we're going to give Cole Beasley $20 million. Get out of here with that. You know, and there will be, you know, obviously overpays, and you hope the Packers aren't a part of an overpay. Now, I think the juxtaposition would be really funny, actually, because so many years we've seen the Packers not spend money. So if the Packers do give a big contract, let's say they give Landon Collins a lucrative deal, will Packer fans go, oh my God, they signed one of the best free agents on the market? Or will it be they paid too much money for a safety? That will be an interesting dynamic of this all, because so many people have wanted the Packers to spend money for years. They've been banging that drum. That's not the Jumanji drum, but that's another drum that has been sort of banged throughout the, you know, the last decade of being a Packer fan. It's like, well, we don't spend money in free agency. Why should we even give a fuck about this? Like, why should it matter? It doesn't matter. It's a wasted topic on local radio. It's a wasted topic, you know, sitting at the bar with your friends, because it ends with, well, you know, Ted Thompson's not going to spend money. So then if the Packers do spend a lot of money, if the Packers drop a lot of bags in free agency, will people be like, well, this is out of control? They're spending too much. Why? Well, you don't win a Super Bowl with free agency. I'd make the argument that the Los Angeles Rams went from a playoff team to a Super Bowl contender by signing a bunch of free agents. Now, granted, they did a lot of one-year deals, and they got a little creative. They didn't have an Aaron Rodgers contract as sort of a stopgap of, we can't pay everybody. And you have other free agents that are upcoming. So I do think that there is, obviously, you don't want to be dumb. You don't want to just be fucking, you know, making it rain on free agencies. That's not what I'm getting at. But what I'm trying to bring across here is the fact that you have to understand that A, the NFL cap is risen by, I believe, 10%. That's number one. Number two, You do want to have the Packers have a voice in free agency. You do need talent. The Packers are kind of starved of talent. Are you just gonna hope that the Packers, who have been 7-9 the last 2 years, or 6, whatever they were last year, that two consecutive losing seasons, that you're gonna keep doing the same thing? How the fuck does that make sense? That doesn't. You have to go after some guys. So I have no problem with the Packers spending a lot of money this free agency. Obviously, some guys might not be worth it. You know, yes, if the Packers gave Cole Beasley $20 million guaranteed, I may cringe at that. But that's because it's the player. It's not because they're giving $20 million guaranteed. It's just, it has to fit. So I think that's where how to gauge your reaction is, does this fit or does it not? And that's kind of where I net out on this. All right, moving to the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Phoenix Suns on Monday night. We were taping the podcast as that game just got rolling. I think we expected them to beat the Suns. I can't remember what. I kind of black out when I do these. And that, like, you know, I remember certain things they said, but, you know, people will come back to me and, you know, say, oh man, I loved your opinion on this, or I loved what you said there, or that was a funny line. I'll be like, oh, did I say that? I do that all the time, especially with Tapping the Keg, because it's a long podcast. Mitch and I talk about a variety of things. You can go back and listen to it if you missed it on Tuesday. We had some really good conversations about the Bucks, the Packers, more from a draft perspective. I wish we talked more about Devin White. As I dug in, to me, I feel like that's the most polarizing guy in this draft for the Packers. And then we also did talk a little bit about the Brewers. But, you know, we obviously missed the whole Suns loss. And I think what I took away from that more than anything else was not that this season that it gave me great pause. It was that the Bucks are elite. The Bucks are going to get everybody's best shot. Look at the Golden State Warriors last night. The Golden State Warriors came into that game. They're a 6.5-point favorite against the Boston Celtics. Now, the Boston Celtics have not beat a goddamn soul. They've been struggling. And all that happened where the Celtics came out and beat their ass. They dominated the Golden State Warriors. They won 128-95. One of the biggest wins for a team against Golden State in years. I didn't look it up, but I'm sure a 33-point drubbing is crazy. Now, there'll be a lot of takes today saying, oh, did the Celtics save their season? I do think the quotes from Kyrie and I think it was Marcus Smart. No, it was Gordon Haywood who said, well, this long trip was like therapeutic. It sounds like the Celtics have had these big old therapy sessions, which I give them credit for. And as a Bucks fan, it makes me a little nervous that, well, I don't want them figuring out this and then getting hot for the playoffs. That, to me, is the worst case scenario. But back to Golden State and this sort of you get everybody's best shot. That is what's going to go on with the Milwaukee Bucks the rest of the season. They're the best team in the East. People respect the Bucks. They respect Giannis Antetokounmpo. They get the fact that Nikola Mirotic is now on this team. The Milwaukee Bucks are not going to get half-ass efforts from anyone, even the teams that are tanking. They play Cleveland a couple of times. Cleveland's still going to bring it. You know, they're not going to, no team is going to lay down against the Milwaukee Bucks because beating them this year, that is a feather in your cap. The Suns had a bad year. The Suns are a dysfunctional mess. They are the big, maybe the biggest dumpster fire in the league top to bottom. That said, the players can leave that season when it wraps up in mid-April and they can say, well, we beat the Bucks twice, and maybe they go to the NBA Finals. And a Suns fan can say, well, that's pretty cool that the Bucks couldn't beat us this year, that we had a stranglehold over the Bucks, that Joe Prunty had the secret sauce to stop Giannis Antetokounmpo. That can be said by Suns fans. So there are account and Suns players. So that will sort of be the theme the rest of the way. And I think Giannis, I saw Giannis, and I don't know when he posted this, but he had an Instagram with just the locked emoji with three pictures of him. And I think it kind of was like, all right, yeah, this is time to lock in. Like, we can't fuck around anymore. That we definitely took the Suns for granted. We did not close the door against Utah. And those were two games we should have won. We're done. This is it. I'd be very scared if I was Indiana on Thursday night. I think you're going to get a Bucks team that is angrier than a bunch of Hornets. And funny, they play Charlotte on Saturday, so maybe Charlotte's on my brain. But you're going to be poking the bear. I think they are ready to sort of, you know, come out and say, all right, you're going to give us your best shot. Well, we're going to bring our best, and we'll see what wins out. I'm going to bet on the Bucks. I'm going to think that the Bucks are going to be the ones that come out victorious in that situation. But yeah, if you're mad about the Suns loss for some reason, if you're still upset, I mean, granted, you don't have a game today to sort of be like, all right, let's get over this. You got to wait another day. It's not anything to be worried about. I think it's something to actually be okay with. So, you know, just keep an eye on that. That's all I'm saying. All right, one thing when I wrap up, back to the Packers. I didn't see a ton of this. I saw a little bit of it. Why do people care about ticket prices for the Packers? Like, why do the Packer ticket prices matter? I know it's a headline. It's a story. It's not something that you should just not talk about. Obviously, it's part of, you know, covering a team. If they raise their ticket prices or they lower their ticket prices, that's a story. I don't have these stats on hand, so if someone wants to be the Snowtap stat team, they can give me these. But I believe the Packers still are one of the lower priced NFL teams from a ticket perspective. I believe the NFL had said to them years ago, hey, we need you guys to keep increasing your spend. The Packers, I think, kept it the same for years, and they've raised it incrementally to abide by NFL rules, that it's sort of the NFL's fault that ticket prices keep rising for the Packers. Now, this ticket increase was not dramatic. It was less than years past, and that makes sense. Packers have been bad the last 2 years, and with the success of the Bucks and Brewers, people might look at spending money elsewhere. The so-called Milwaukee packages might no longer be as, you know, coveted as, say, a 10-pack of tickets for the Brewers or the Bucks. And I think people would still say, I'd rather have the Packer tickets. It'd be an interesting question. If you could have 10 tickets to, or you have either the 3-pack for Milwaukee, you had 2 games and potentially a playoff, or you have the opportunity to get, let's say, 6 Bucks or Brewer games for top tier games. So like the Cubs, the Sixers, what would you choose? Maybe that's a topic for Mitch and I next week. You know, we always look for topics, and that might be one to put in the hopper. All right. I'll circle back, as they say in the business world. But back to ticket prices and like the upset, the anger. It's like, look, first of all, it's the Packers. It's season ticket holders. No one's going to just say, okay, this is where I draw the line. It's too fucking much. I am done spending money on the Packers. Because guess what? If you say that, there are thousands among thousands of people waiting on your season tickets. So if you decide that, you know what, it's finally too rich for my blood, I'm out, someone's going to swoop in and say, all right, cool. Well, these are now my season tickets, and sorry that these have been too much money, because someone else is going to make it work. These aren't astronomical increases. They are slight. They are barely anything. They are a coffee at Starbucks. So to get upset about Packer ticket prices, to me, is fucking ridiculous. I don't see the anger in it. I think sometimes we manufacture our you know, sort of grief because we're trying to be like the angry guy on Twitter, or we're trying to be sort of this tough guy about, oh, well, it should all cater to us. It should all cater to the fan. You know what? A lot of things cater to people. It's a B2C world. I'm looking at it's more of a customer first mentality. A lot of people care about the customer and care about the people who are sitting in those seats. Fan experience is huge. That said, you still sometimes need to make money. And for the Packers to raise it by a coffee is not gonna, like, it shouldn't like drive you crazy. It shouldn't, you know, if you say, oh, the audacity of a team who's lost 2 straight years, we could have that conversation if they raised it by $5 to $10. They raised it by a coffee. That's fine. Go to Starbucks one less time in the year, and then boom, you've paid for your Packer tickets. There, simple economics, opportunity costs all up in that ass. All right, that does it. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Marquette. I thought Marquette played Tuesday, and I was like, oh, shit. Don't want to do like 2 Marquette leading topics in the last 2 years. I have an interesting topic if they lose. If they win, I don't know where that will go. But I have a topic. I always have topics. You know that. We'll see if there's any more free agency news coming out and anything else that may tickle my fancy for Thursday's edition. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a great Wednesday. We'll talk tomorrow. Beer's on me.